That wasn't bad, said Harry, but there's definite room for improvement. Zacharias Smith glared at him. Let's try again. He moved off around the room again, stopping here and there to make suggestions. Slowly, the general performance improved. He avoided going near Cho and her friend for a while, but after walking twice around every other pair in the room, felt he could not ignore them any longer.
Oh, no, said Cho rather wildly as he approached. Expelliarmus! I mean, Expellimelius! Oh, sorry, Marietta.
Her curly-haired friend's sleeve had caught fire. Marietta extinguished it with her own wand and glared at Harry as though it was his fault.
You made me nervous. I was doing all right before then,
Cho told Harry ruefully. That was quite good, Harry lied. But when she raised her eyebrows, he said, Well, no, it was lousy, but I know you can do it properly. I was watching from over there. She laughed. Her friend Marietta looked at them rather sourly and turned away.
Don't mind her, Cho muttered. She doesn't really want to be here, but I made her come with me. Her parents have forbidden her to do anything that might upset Umbridge, you see. Her mum works for the ministry.
What about your parents? Asked Harry.
Well, they've forbidden me to get on the wrong side of Umbridge, too, said Cho, drawing herself up proudly. But if they think I'm not going to fight you-know-who after what happened to Cedric...
She broke off, looking rather confused, and an awkward silence fell between them. Terry Boots's wand went whizzing past Harry's ear and hit Alicia Spinnet hard on the nose.
"Well, my father is very supportive of any anti-ministry action,"
said Luna Lovegood proudly from just behind Harry. Evidently she had been eavesdropping on his conversation, while Justin Finch Fletchley attempted to disentangle himself from the robes that had flown up over his head.
"He's always saying he'd believe anything of Fudge. I mean, the number of goblins Fudge has had assassinated. And, of course, he uses the Department of Mysteries to develop terrible poisons, which he feeds secretly to anybody who disagrees with him. And then there's his umgubular slash-kilter."
"Don't ask," Harry muttered to Cho as she opened her mouth, looking puzzled. She giggled.
"Hey, Harry!"
Hermione called from the other end of the room. Have you checked the time? He looked down at his watch and received a shock. It was already 9:10, which meant they needed to get back to their common rooms immediately or risk being caught and punished by Filch for being out of bounds. He blew his whistle. Everybody stopped shouting, Expelliarmus, and the last couple of wands clattered to the floor.
Well, that was pretty good, said Harry,
but we've overrun. We'd better leave it here. Same time, same place next week.
Sooner,
said Dean Thomas eagerly, and many people nodded in agreement. Angelina, however, said quickly, The Quidditch season's about to start. We need team practices too. Let's say next Wednesday night then, said Harry, and we can decide on additional meetings then.
Come on, we'd better get going.
He pulled out the Marauder's map again and checked it carefully for signs of teachers on the 7th floor. He let them all leave in 3s and 4s, watching their tiny dots anxiously to see that they returned safely to their dormitories. The Hufflepuffs to the basement corridor that also led to the kitchens, the Ravenclaws to a tower on the west side of the castle, and the Gryffindors along the corridor to the 7th floor and the fat lady's portrait.
That was really, really good, Harry,
said Hermione, when finally it was just her, Harry and Ron left.
Yeah, it was,
said Ron enthusiastically as they slipped out of the door and watched it melt back into stone behind them.
Did you see me disarm Hermione, Harry?
Only once,
said Hermione, stung.
I got you loads more than you got me. I did not only get you once, I got you at least 3 times. Well, if you're counting the one where you tripped over your own feet and knocked the wand out of my hand...
They argued all the way back to the common room, but Harry was not listening to them. He had one eye on the Marauder's map, but he was also thinking of how Cho had said he made her nervous.